Good morning, Potter's Foursquare Church. This is Pastor Greg. I'm coming to you from my office this fine Sunday morning, and I'm excited that you're here joining us to study God's Word. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we spent probably 3 weeks discussing the Holy Spirit on Sundays, and then we had to transition into the Easter time, and so we got that covered. We did Palm Sunday and an Easter message on the two Sundays. So we've taken a two-week break, and we're back. We had talked about the deity of the Holy Spirit when we first started, and then we talked about how important that was to our doctrine regarding the Holy Spirit. It's really the foundation of sort of everything that we believe about the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit we did in two different parts, and the anointing of the Spirit we did in 1 week. So we've been at this for a little over a month, just kind of going through the finer points of the Holy Spirit in detail. And we're going to be doing that today with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a probably three-part or four-part teaching because of the fact that there's just so much material here. But in previous lessons, you know, we've talked about the gift of the Spirit, right? And there is a promise to all who repent and are baptized. And, you know, referring to the gift of the Spirit himself, this pertains to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Bible makes it clear that there is a gift that is the Holy Spirit given to us, and then there are gifts of the Spirit. And so I want to make sure that we understand the distinction there, because we've all received the gift of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit are something that is separate from that. And so in distinguishing that, the Spirit himself is the one that bestows these gifts through the Father and the Messiah onto us. And these gifts are those spiritual faculties that we have as, spiritual beings. And I think, you know, for both of these last couple of lessons and the ones that we have ahead of us, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, it's really important, you know, for you and I to understand that we are spiritual beings. And I think that when we forget that, when we lose sight of the fact that we're spiritual beings, we don't use the spiritual tools that God has given us. And the fruits of the Spirit, even though they are things that should be seen in us, remember, they are a tool, because ultimately people will see that and want to be, they're going to want what we have, right? And so it's the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. And there's, you know, all kinds of gifts that we're going to be talking about this morning. I just want to make sure in this study, what my goal is to communicate what the gifts are, and then how do people receive these gifts, and then what is the purpose of the gifts, and how long were the gifts to last? In other words, are they for today or not? Which I know we've covered in previous studies, but I think it's important to address it again. So going deeper this morning, these are the spiritual gifts that are listed by Paul. Now remember, today we're going to take just a cursory review of the gifts, because in next study, next week and the following week, we're going to be breaking down these gifts in more detail. My goal at the end of this is to, you know, promote and to prompt some of you from where you are at this point today. Maybe you're utilizing the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you're practicing the gifts of the Spirit. If that's the case, my goal would be to get more of that out of you. But really what I'm after is for the people that are just functioning sort of without the gifts of the Spirit. And that sort of audience excites me the most, because you have no idea how much you're missing out on your spiritual walk. You have no idea how much you're missing out on just the beauty of walking with Jesus through these gifts that he's given us, and how not only do they benefit our life, but that's just a side note, they benefit the lives of other people. So these are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are described by Paul. So the first one is the word of wisdom. And that is the ability to speak new revelations with divine wisdom. And the second one is the word of knowledge, the ability to speak truths already revealed. The third one is faith. And it's not saving faith, but the faith to perform miracles. The next would be the gifts of healing, which is the ability to heal all kinds of sickness. The next one would be the working of miracles. These are miracles of extraordinarily powerful usage. And the next would be prophecy. In this context, it's the inspired disclosure of the Word of God. Now, there's prophecy here has two things. Yes, it can be foretelling the future. But remember, there's nothing added that we don't already know. In other words, the Word of God in its entirety is enough. Now, there is times that a prophetic word about something that's going to come and happen, that is a gift. But along with prophecy is this definition of speaking forth the mind and the will of God, which is what I'm doing right now. So if you're wondering what prophecy is, you're listening to prophecy or a form of prophecy. And then the next one would be discerning of spirits. This is ability to tell whether another one speaks from the spirit or some other source, either human or demonic. The next one would be the different kinds of tongues, the ability to speak in various languages. And then the last is the interpretation of those tongues, right? So if you're making a list, you can start now. I'll go slowly. First, word of wisdom. Second, word of knowledge. Third, word of faith. Fourth, gifts of healing. Fifth, working of miracles. Six, prophecy. Seven, discerning of spirits. Eight, different kinds of tongues. And nine, the interpretation of those tongues. So, if we're looking at these gifts, you know, and we want to talk about, you know, just sort of going deeper with these, they're described by Paul, and these gifts are called spiritual, and it's pneumatos, that's the Greek word, implying that it's of the spirit and they're not natural. And I think, guys, that's the difficulty that people have and the fear that they have is when you're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, you're dealing in something that's supernatural. It's outside of who we are as individuals, as physical people. It's exercised in the spiritual side. And you know, they all come from the same Spirit. We're promised that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11. And there were manifestations of the Spirit. That word manifest is a great word because it's talking about that which is plain and it illustrates or makes anything seen or known, right? So a manifestation of the Spirit would be something that illustrates what that is. And God is not hard to understand. It's not complicated. It may be hard to follow because, you know, we have to deal with our flesh, but all of these things are really easy for us to grasp. And I think that word manifestation is very important in the text here because that's what God does. He gives this easy explanation about how these gifts are to be used. So these spiritual gifts were to be visible and audible evidences of the Spirit's influence. So in contrast with the other gifts, which are not as noticeable, but you know, these expressions of their expressions of God's grace nonetheless. And I think we need to really understand that. So the next point here is that not all Christians have these spiritual gifts, and some have no gift at all. And that's not necessarily God's will. I personally believe that God would have us to have the ability to access all the gifts of the Spirit and walk in all the fruits of the Spirit. Let me say that again. It is my personal belief that God would have us to walk in all of the spiritual gifts, the spiritual fruits that He's given us, the fruits of the Spirit, and have the ability to practice all of the spiritual gifts, the nine that I just listed. Now, there's an examples of in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12, of people who could not speak in tongues. And there is another in 1 Corinthians 14, where some were ungifted because they were uninformed. And, you know, possession of these spiritual gifts did not ensure spiritual maturity because the church at Corinth, They came short in no gift. They had plenty of gifts, right? In according to what the scripture says. Yet, you know, they were called out for being carnal. They were called out for being babes. They had a lot of sin in the church. So just because we, you know, possess these gifts or were able to practice these gifts does not put a crown of spirituality on you. So don't think that for a second. First of all, it's not you working the gift. It's God working the gift. And God works through imperfect people. That's just what he does. So these spiritual gifts could could be abused. They could be controlled. And when they're used for personal benefit, it's contrary for the original purpose. That's not what God would have us do. They're not used for our benefit. They're used improperly, you know, to shame a congregation or shame an individual. That's not what God does. And I've been guilty of this. I know what it's like to abuse a gift. And if you've been in the ministry as long as I have, you have ample opportunity to do that. But when they're used properly, they bring edification to all. 1 Corinthians 14:26. They build up everybody. And guys, if your purpose this morning in listening to the sermon is that you want to understand the gifts because you want to go show them off to everybody, shame on you. Shame on me. Because that's not what I'm teaching and that's not what I want you hearing. These gifts are to benefit other people, not to bring glory to you, not to bring glory to me. The gift that I am using right now is the gift that God gave me. It's not my intellect. It's not my wisdom. It's not my talent. It has nothing to do with that. It is the ability to allow God to do something greater in me or in you than we could do, than we could normally do in our own flesh. So that's sort of the explanation of the gifts. So number two here is, how do people receive the gifts? Well, they come from the Holy Spirit himself. And the Holy Spirit distributes gifts to each one as he determines, 1 Corinthians 12:11. And those with certain roles likely receive more gifts, like the apostles. There were gifts on special occasions when the Spirit came on individuals and imparted gifts directly. The apostles at Pentecost, that was a specific time in the household of Cornelius. The first Gentiles, they had a manifestation of the gifts. Now, let's go back and talk about this, because if they come from the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are different than the fruit. We need to be walking in all the fruit, but there's not a need necessarily for every day you're going to use all nine of these gifts, right? That's not necessarily how God works. However, there will be opportunities that come your way every day to use some of the gifts. And I think that's the thing that we really need to make the transition in our mind, right? How do people receive these gifts? Well, from the Holy Spirit, and then number two here, through the laying on of hands. So that would be B, the laying on of hands, definitely through the laying on the hands of the apostles, right? The example of that was the Samaritans in Acts 8, the Ephesians in Acts 19, and the Romans in Romans 1:1. Possibly through the laying on the hands of others, we see that in Scripture. Paul may have received the Spirit along with the gifts and laying on of hands by Ananias. Excuse me. Timothy may have received the gift by the laying on of hands of the elders. And the laying on of hands, guys, was the actual instrument, but the actual instrument of being confirmed. Now, Let me tell you what I mean by that. So if somebody comes up to me on Sunday morning or a Wednesday and says, you know, Pastor Greg, I really want this gift. Can you pray with me? I would love that. I would love to pray for God to give you these gifts that you already have them in your spiritual being. They just haven't been awakened yet, right? And that's basically what when I pray is I'm just confirming that those gifts are going to be awakened in you, right? I don't give you a gift. It's not my anointing where I lay my hands on you and say, yes, because of me, I now transfer this gift to this other individual. That's inaccurate, right? That's not how God works at all. So additional gifts may have been received through prayer, which is C here. And Paul instructed some to pray that they might receive the gift, 1 Corinthians 14:13. And those who already had the gifts of tongues could pray to receive the gift of interpretation of tongues. That those two gifts work hand in glove. We'll talk about that more next week. And could those who, you know, not have already received a gift, could they ask for one? Could they pray for one? Absolutely, guys. These are good. Everything that God gives, all the good and perfect gifts come down from the Father, right? We know that. I know I'm only quoting half of that verse, but that's the truth that we need to really remind ourselves of. And this is what God wants to do in you. This is how God wants to move in you, right? So what is the purpose of the gifts? This is point number three here. The purpose of the gift was to reveal and confirm. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The purpose of the gifts is to reveal and confirm. Reveal what? Well, reveal God's will and confirm it, that will. Some of the gifts reveal God's will in terms of prophecy. Other gifts confirm God's will in terms of tongues and miracles. Gifts were of little value unless truth was being revealed. Now, again, this is a perfect time to just take a little segue. And you know, guys, the gifts that we want to be engaged in are ones that not only edify, but there's truth in these gifts, right? And again, anybody can stand up and prophesy. Anybody can come up with a haphazard word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or something like that. It's why prophecy is so valued among all the other gifts is because it's speaking forth the mind and the will of God. Tongues is a praise to God. So especially when there is tongues without interpretation, that is not a very powerful gift, right? Because it's not benefiting for everybody. So these, again, they're for the profit of all. The gifts of the Spirit were given for the profit of all in 1 Corinthians 12:7, not for personal or selfish reasons, but for the purpose of benefiting others. This, the purpose of these miracle gifts were to instruct and edify the church and to convince unbelievers, like speaking in tongues. Tongues is a first sign not to those who believe, but to those who believe not. And I think that when we understand and we begin to walk in these gifts and we begin to practice these gifts, we it's not that we manage them better, we just get more comfortable in those types of shoes, right? So how long the gifts were they to last? And this is where I believe that there is a lot of disconnect between denominations. I think for the most part, if you belong to a denomination or you are going to a church where they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, it's not that you're not going to sit and understand the teachings of the Lord. It's not that you're not going to be fed, but it's like going to a gas station and buying the cheapest gas. I mean, you're just not firing on all cylinders until you really understand that these gifts are for today. Many believers, they thought that there were a time for the apostles, and when that age was over, the gifts were over. And, you know, again, why would God stop something so great? And it's not like the church doesn't need to be built now. It does. And this is how God builds his church, through the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. If they're of the Spirit and have been given by the Spirit, then how can they not be for today? And why on earth would God take them? Where does prophesying fit in? Interpretation of the signs and of the times, right? We need that desperately. There is a need right now for people to biblically interpret the time that we are in. Guys, we're in a very difficult situation for the church, because for the most part, even though we're doing what we can do, the number one thing that makes church so awesome has been taken from us, and that's when we meet together and we dwell in unity. That doesn't mean that we're not dwelling in unity this morning, but it sure is a lot more powerful when we are all under one roof, worshiping the Lord, seeing people, hearing their need, laying on our hands, agreeing in prayer. And those things for today are not, we don't have the ability to do those. But that's not forever, right? But a prophetic word speaks to the condition that we're in. And in the next few weeks, I hope to add some devotion times that we'll put on our website as well under the sermons tab that really talk about more specifically what's going on in our world today. I get a lot of questions from people, and you know, there is a lot going on in our world today, but it's also found in the scriptures that Jesus said it would be this way. If you look at the gift of healing, right, why would God stop the gift of healing, right? You say, well, Greg, God doesn't heal the way that he did before, and God doesn't do all that. You know what? God is still healing. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If you want to find out about God's healing, if you want to see miracles, you can see people that are in recovery ministries. And you say, well, that's, you know, they're being cured of alcoholism. I mean, that's not, well, yeah, it is. That's healing. It's healing. People have been healed of physical ailments. People have been healed of emotional ailments. I've seen people be healed of abuses in the past. God is still healing. It may not be the exact way that we saw the miraculous way Jesus healing, but that still does happen. Most of it not in this country. And you have to ask yourself, Jesus walked by a city and said, I can't do anything with that city because there's no faith there. And that's loosely translated. A lot of cities, he cursed. A lot of cities, he said, when you go in and preach and nobody listens to you or they don't make you feel welcome, shake off the dust because that city is going to be toast. So how do we take some of this away for our own spiritual benefit? So number one, we know that the gifts, we know what they are. And the question is why are we not using them? And I think there's three things that people, this is, when I pray for them and when I talk to them about why they're not utilizing the gifts of the Spirit, the number one thing that I hear is that they're fearful. They're fearful to do it. Because again, this is outside of their control. This is something that God does in them. And the second thing here is that they're ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant like, oh, they don't, you know, nobody explained it to them. They're ignorant because they choose to ignore. They're ignorant. They've chosen to ignore this side of God. And the third is that they're just flat out lazy, right? They're just lazy. You don't want to put your hand on the plow. You don't want to be a soldier in God's army. You're just lazy. So you're either fearful, ignorant, or lazy. That's why we're not utilizing them. Number two, how then, if we know how to receive them, why are we not asking for them? Is our faith weak? Are we caught up with the events of the day? Guys, we should be asking for all of these gifts now, especially this gift of discernment, discerning of spirits. Then when you're watching the, you know, TV and somebody's telling you how bad things are going to get, and you know, there's the media's interpretation of what's going on, and then there's God's. So we know how to receive these gifts. We should be asking for them. Number three, why? What you know, if we know their purpose, then why can't we see the need? Are we giving the Lord time to reveal to us? Are we listening for thunder, right, when he speaks in whispers? Let me repeat that again. Are we listening for the thunder? That would be, I want to see God move with miracles and power and all this stuff. And yet Jesus, maybe he's whispering. God is heard in the still small voice, not the thunder, right? And number four, we know the gifts are today. Why are we neglecting them? The gifts are for our power to bless other people. The gifts will accomplish the work that remains that we have to do, that the church is supposed to get done. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. The gifts are for the benefit of the lost and dying world that we live in, that we're part of. So I think we got a pretty good idea of what we set out to accomplish. We know what the gifts are. We know how people receive them. We know what their purpose is, and we know how long they have lasted. They're for today, they're for you, and they're for me. So this morning I want to pray with you and just ask that God would divinely bless you this morning. And then at the end of that, I'm going to give an opportunity for those listening online to receive of the Lord for the first time. So Father, I pray for the church this morning, your blessing upon them, God. And I pray that you would help us shake off that lazy attitude that we have, Lord. Help us to not be ignorant any longer, Father, and help us to set aside the fear that would keep us from walking in these gifts of the Spirit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for wisdom to be given to each one who hears my voice weekly. God, that as we continue to talk about the Holy Spirit, this is not a character study. This is a study on the power of God in us. And I pray that they would realize that. And I ask this morning, Lord, if there is repentance needed from any of us, God, that we would be willing and ready to repent of that laziness, of that ignorant attitude that we have, and the fear that we have for just stepping out and using these gifts. If you're here listening this morning and you've sort of found this website, or maybe somebody told you about it, and you've not yet received the Lord as your personal Savior, everything that I just spoke to you does not apply to you unless you receive Jesus. And you say, well, Greg, how do I do that? And it's a lot simpler than walking in the gifts of the Spirit, because all you have to do is believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And if you're willing and able to do that this morning, and you do, then know that you have been invited into the family of God, and you are on your way to heaven. And if you've made that decision, I want you to call the church office and let us know. We'd like to encourage you in your faith. There's a number on the website. If no one answers, call the emergency line. That's my cell, and I'll pray with you. I'm that excited to do that. I pray that God will richly bless you this morning. Remember, church, he has shown you, he has shown me, O man, O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. God bless you guys.